lot of quality feedback about our prop bets. So we might have to try to continue that in the future.
Somebody wrote in, Lee wrote in and said, point out that a goldfish is still technically a pet. I mean, where's the line on that?
I think so.
Because I think what will happen if the school sends home...
Not a pet.
Why is a fish not a pet?
What interaction do you have with a pet? Besides dropping food.
Okay. And the goldfish gets flushed like within a week.
All right, but you still have to look after the fish, right? Like you have to make a point of feeding the fish and checking in on the fish.
But if the
that fish put his little mouth outside the water to give you a kiss goodnight, then it's a pet. But the fish doesn't do it.
I disagree. I think a fish.
Or if it came on top of the water and you could pet it.
Fish are useless.
So what's the point of having a fish?
Exactly. A lot of pets.
Like a goldfish is for your five-year-old just so that they can overfeed it and kill it. That's basically, it's a life lesson.
And then you got to lie to them and pretend like
it's
that
a life
didn't
lesson
happen.
For them.
I say fish count. If you have a fish in your house, it counts. You've gone soft.
Yeah, dang.
All right. Here's Carl Ravitch from ESPN. Do you think fish count as a pet, Carl?
I think if you have to invest any type of money or feed it, then it becomes a pet.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't get anything out of it. It's just...
Well, you must. I mean, there must be something you're getting out of it because you're willing to commit some financial resources to it and feed the thing. But otherwise, if you got nothing out of it, you just let it die.
Well, yeah. I do find that does seem to happen a lot more with fish, right? Like people go away and somehow they forget about the fish and they come back.
There is
a
bit of an ambivalence around fish that don't really exist with dogs or any other pet. That's
right.
Fact.
Which is really cold. I mean, that's uncalled for.
It is. We're not trying to be cruel to them. It's just, you're right. Goldfish is...
I played with a guy in Hartford that went away and left out 7 bowls of food for his dog. Did not go over so well.
No. Did he label them Sunday through Monday?
Exactly.
What an idiot.
Apparently the dog also got into the bag of food and it turned real ugly. It wasn't good.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that's
welcome home.
Yeah. No kidding. So we've been talking about Robinson Cano, and obviously he was suspended for 80 games. Earlier this morning, the news broke, and he tested positive for taking a diuretic, which is used generally to mask PED use. He's claiming ignorance on this. He's not claiming that he didn't take it, but he's claiming that he took it for a different reason, not for performance-enhancing drugs. And he's claiming that he got it from a doctor and he didn't realize it was banned. I mean, he's not the first guy to have that kind of an explanation. Do you buy it? Is there any reason to buy it?
No, I don't. I wouldn't buy it. I mean, I think what happened was he was found to have had this substance in him during spring training. He appealed it, and during the appeal, Major League Baseball and their investigators came to the conclusion that it was being used to mask performance-enhancing drugs. To me, case closed, done deal, irrelevant on the story you're telling. And unfortunately, you do tend to get lumped in with every other person that tells similar stories of knowingly and doctor prescription and never used before. I'm sorry, you know, the boy who cried wolf, at some point you realize like he's not telling the truth. In any of these cases, I find that if Robinson Cano was truly believing that he, you know, either mistakenly took it or wasn't using it to mask, he would scream from the highest mountain. And that didn't happen, and he acquiesced to this suspension. So, no, I've unfortunately become very jaded to all of these stories and don't buy any of them.
So he's been a fantastic player for a long time. How do you go about making an assessment on what his career? You think he's been dirty the whole career?
Hard to say. I mean, I think the one thing we appear to have learned from past experiences with some great players who have used and others who've been accused of using is that for the most part, the assumption is that they didn't do it their entire careers, that at some point they decided to try it in quote unquote the twilight of their career. And then all of a sudden they had a second career after that, which was even better than the first. Look, a lot of this becomes very speculative and very opinion driven on your own feelings and thoughts and observations. So I would think that given Cano's success over the course of his career, I tend to give the benefit of the doubt that this wasn't something he was doing his entire time. And as you get older, you know, perhaps you see younger, better players, and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. But I know a lot of people will ask in Cano's case, you had the 10-year deal. What do you? Why would you try to do something like that now? Do you need more money after the next 5 years expire? So all of these things come with a whole host of questions along with them. Many of them start with, why would you do that? Others start with, well, wow, you know, you're already in the prime of your career. You've signed your 10-year, 200 and whatever, 10, $40 million deal. You don't need to do this. People said the same thing about Barry Bonds. You know, you don't need to do that, and he's never been found to have actually used them, but there's many people who speculate he did, and part of the reason he did, if he did, was because he wanted to keep up with McGuire and Sosa. You know, I'm the best player, and without them, I'm not the best player. My numbers aren't the best, so I want to have the best numbers because I believe I'm the best player. And if this is what everyone else or at least those guys are doing, then I'm going to make the playing field level, and I'm going to do the same stuff. So in Cano's case, again, he's unique in that he had his money and his security and still was found to be doing this stuff. But, you know, to answer your question again, that's one of those very subjective, very individual things. I would give the benefit of the doubt that he hadn't been doing it his entire career. But if he acknowledged, you know, in an interview 10 years from now and said, I screwed them, you know, out of all that money, I was cheating my whole time, I wouldn't sit there and be shocked by it.
With Carl Ravage of ESPN, there's a Blue Jay spin on this because the Mariners are in a race for the second wild card. I guess a race out west in general. They're chasing the Angels and the Astros, and they've been off to a really good start. Do you think this takes them out of contention? How will this affect Seattle?
Well, Seattle's a lot deeper. Their pitching is a lot better. Their bullpen is a lot better than it's been in years past. And James Paxton appears to have sort of assumed the role that Verlander does with Houston, that Severino does with New York, maybe Ohtani does with the Angels, and that they actually have now an ace to go along with Felix and others in that rotation. You know, Cano is having a good year. He's a really good player. It's not like the Dodgers losing Seager in earlier years of his career. You'd lose the best player. I think they're good. I don't think that they're Angels good anyway. You know, and I'm not sure that I would lump the Blue Jays in that conversation. Now, the Blue Jays can make some moves here with some of their younger players and supplement the team that they have. But, you know, today it's Red Sox, it's Yankees, it's Indians, it's Angels, and then it becomes, you know, the Astros is the best team in baseball. Where's room for the Blue Jays? Where's room for the Mariners? Again, that's today. Injuries can happen. You call up Vlad Guerrero Jr. and he has big impact on team. Sure, but I don't put the Blue Jays or the Mariners in the same conversation today with the Angels.
When do you call up Vladimir Guerrero?
A week and a half ago.
So
he's actually in Hartford right now with his team. You know, belted a home run last night, his first at bat. I mean, he's major league ready. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think that we've had enough of a sample size the last few years with these kids that get called up, and very few of them are shrinking violets. They tend to perform and perform well, and oftentimes improve the team that they're called up on. You know, in his case, there's a bit of a log jam at the position that he would play, but you got to be creative as far as your organization goes to figure out how to get that bat in the lineup, how to get that athleticism, how to get that glove, how to get that kid in the lineup. But you know, you're dealing with other things in Toronto with Osuna, with Stroman. It's a bit of a bump in the road right now. And yeah, I would have brought him up a week and a half ago. I've seen enough evidence from young kids, 21, 20, 22. Who are more than ready to play and perform it at its highest level, let alone, you know, a regular season game in May.
Yeah, his numbers are absurd. I mean, Vladdy Guerrero Jr.,
course.
He's hitting over 400 in AA with an OPS over 1,100. I mean, this guy is crushing the
minors. It's kind of a bat we could use. Last check, we could use that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? Yeah. We brought this up earlier, and Noodles, you were the one that brought it up. I think it's telling that the Blue Jays, whenever asked, at least off the record, they keep saying, well, it's about service time, and we want to push his contract back. Or, you know, defensively, he's got to improve.
Aren't we way past that?
Well, I think what they're telling us here, Carl, is this team's not very good, and we don't want to bring him up.
Sure.
And it's a gong show right now with Osuna, with Stroman, with the Donaldson contract hanging over them.
Yeah.
I think there's a part of them that I think we should almost listen to what they're not saying in terms of why he's not up, because they don't want to bring him into this environment, and they don't think even with that bat it's going to make a difference. They don't feel like the Jays are a good enough team.
That may be, but I mean, in the end, isn't our goal, especially once we've passed the date of losing a year of eligibility, isn't our goal to put the best players on the field? His growth at the AA level seems to have reached a point where there's not a lot more that he's going to develop, and why not bring him up? You know, we used to draw 4 million people there to a game. Don't we want to put more people in the seats? So the conflict of interest that arise, given youth of some players, burdensome contracts of others, teams in your own division, those conflicts tend to override what is probably, I still think, the most important thing, which is how do we put the best team on the field? And I'm even appreciative of service time. I understand you don't want to lose that, but we're past that now. So he's eligible to be called up and not lose a year on the calendar. Okay, well, he's one of our nine best. Wherever he's playing, if he's DHing, let's figure out a way to put him on the field and let his major league career begin. We saw it with Chris Bryant. He clearly was ready to play well before he got called up. We've seen it in a number of other instances. You know, the clock is, if you had an alarm clock, the thing is ringing real loud and it's not shutting off. It's not like he's going to hit 210.
No.
You know, he's going to flirt with this number and you're going to just steadily be reminded of it. It's like a steady drip.
Oh, it's not going away. There's no way. Thank you for this, Carl. Always appreciate you doing it.
All right, boys, anytime.
Here's Carl Ravage from ESPN, MLB on ESPN. And that's the truth about Vladdy Guerrero Jr. I mean, it's not like he's going to cool down here. He may not keep hitting 400, but he's going to continue to knock on the door. And the truth is, it's not possible to temper expectations now.
Right.
Like, regardless, if he comes up tonight, if he comes up next year, 2 years down the road.
Yeah, he's on YouTube every day.
He's still waiting.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Somebody's taken a video of this guy's every at-bat, and it doesn't go away.
No. Doesn't matter when he comes up. The expectations are going to be so bloated and so out of control that you can't scale that back now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm just sticking with my original theory, as they want things to settle down a little bit up here and then bring him up.
Mm-hmm.
It is still technically somewhat early in the season.
Yeah, it's mid-May.
I know.
There's 4.5 months left.
That's what I'm saying. You can bring him up in 6 weeks from now after things. I mean, hopefully Stroman comes back and settles down.
Go on a heater. Maybe the Osuna stuff clears, although that doesn't feel likely at this point.
And that doesn't, the optics of that, I mean, it's awful, and we'll get to the bottom of it eventually, but it's not good.
No, and that is a factor that doesn't get brought up enough, is that this team has to consider what kind of an environment he's walking into.
Right.
You know, and the Osuna stuff is not, that's not a good scene.
No.
Marcus Stroman, he's not pitching well. Who knows what he's like in the clubhouse. By all accounts, his teammates like him or love him or whatever, but he's in a weird spot, and you know how he's going to react to all that.
Yeah.
The Donaldson story, you know, watching coming in and your superstar player, your mentor at third base, is a guy who could be out the door soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that may be a part of it, too. They're thinking, let's trade Donaldson, and then when we do that, then we call him up, and he plays third base.
Because
if
it's not a popular move, you need a shiny toy to bring in to distract people.
And that would most certainly do it. I mean,
exactly.
People are more intrigued by Vladdy Guerrero Jr. than guys on the club, in a lot of ways, because of what he's doing.
I know it was in Montreal, but the reception he got is just, it's been a steady build.
Yeah, he's the number one, he's the best prospect they've had in decades. I mean, it's number one guy in baseball. Look at what he's doing.